Blog Talk Radio.
Swami welcomes you with great love and great respect from the heart of all. Welcome to Meditative Living. This is Swami Shivananda Giri bringing you the teachings, the blessings, and the Shakti of His Holiness Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj. Los Angeles, California, who in 2007 became the very first white-skinned American-born human being invited into the rank of the Mahamandaleshwars, whose dharma it is to defend and disseminate Sanatana Dharma on this particular planet. Sanatana Dharma, for those unfamiliar, is better known as Hinduism, but it is most correctly known as Sanatana Dharma, which means the eternal, natural way. For those that have been following these episodes, you will remember that we are in the midst of reading the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Bhagwan Nityananda was the guru of the guru of this Swami's guru. He was a very, very unique individual. He was what is called an avadut one who is completely, almost unaware of the body and its issues and functions and such. This is one who is absolute pure consciousness and speaks from that position. And one of the interesting things about Bhagwan Nityananda is that he didn't speak all that much at all to anyone about anything. He sat smiling most of the time. He would, every now and again, throw rocks at people. But the interesting part about, if you were to get beamed in your brain holder with a rock by Nityananda, when you got up, you would be in bliss. That rock to the head would turn out to be the greatest blessing you've ever had in your life. And I know exactly how crazy that sounds, but it is the absolute case. It has been proven time and time and time again. Now, this Swami is reading the Chittakasha Gita with the commentary. More about Chittakasha Gita and how it came to be. Nityananda didn't write anything. He barely spoke. So what happened was, disciples would start scribbling down when he would say something. They would write it down. And this collection of his sayings got put together by a bunch of different disciples. But one in particular, a woman named Pulthi Amma, gathered them all together, put them into a format, you know, like a book, and asked Nityananda if they would be okay to publish this as his teachings. And he said, okay. Well, I don't know that he even said anything. Knowing him the way many of us do, most likely he just looked up and nodded his head or something. But that then became the Chittakasha Gita. This particular Chittakasha Gita is got commentary provided by Acharya Kedar and is available at www.suprememeditation.org. So what this Swami will be reading today will be verse by verse from the Chittakasha Gita, the words of Nityananda himself, followed by the commentary of Acharya Kedar, and if there's anything this Swami has to add or explain or any of that, then we'll step away from the text for a moment, and this Swami will cover that. Then we'll return to the text. So, let us begin. Verse 116, Nityananda said, "He is a Brahmin who has performed the Upanayana ceremony. Establish what is called upadhi in you. Being desireless, look inwards in your heart. See with the eye of desirelessness. Discard distinctions. Burn to ashes the idea of you and I." Yes. You burn it to ashes. Acharya Kedar's commentary. One who performs the sacred ceremony and is invested with the sacred thread is known as a Brahmin priest. That's the stepping away from the commentary for a moment. That's the ceremonial induction into the Brahmin priesthood class, returning to the commentary. But the real consecration does not take place in such a ceremony. The real consecration and initiation is to become established in the power and silence of the self inside your own being. Establish upadhi, or silence, in yourself by removing your expectations of sense pleasures and worldly pleasures. become desireless by meditation on Shiva, who is your very nature. In this way, over time, you will burn all notions of duality to ashes and see the one God, the one Shiva Shakti, vibrating inside your own being and in everything and everyone everywhere. This state is what is called desirelessness. And when you have attained this state, that is the real Upanayana ceremony, and no other ritual is useful. Stepping away from the text for a moment, kindly allow this Swami to testify. Everything changes. Equanimity comes and stays. The view, plus, minus, neutral, is no longer the same. Although pluses, minuses, and neutrals are perceived, you understand that these are only perceptions that are occurring. Seriously, no more important or unimportant than an afternoon breeze. When you're enjoying that afternoon breeze, or when that afternoon breeze is pissing you off by moving something around, you are not personally in control of that breeze. You neither invited it, nor can you run it away. It's going to endure for a time, and then it is gone. And then there may be peace, or there may be more breeze. There may be rain. There may be thunder. There may be snow. In this way, you come to perceive from the seat, the asana of equilibrium. All, literally, all capital letters, A-L-L, all can be perceived in a desireless way. You may note that which can be considered positive, and that which can be considered negative, and that which may be considered neutral. But that is only possible through dualistic thinking. Can the seer be seen? This is the way you have to approach this. There is a part of you which is far bigger than you can give credit to at this moment that is perceiving everything and is not invested in anything, merely perceiving. All kinds of names for this: witness, consciousness, higher self, whatever. Doesn't matter what you call it. Its function remains the same and has always been the same, is the same today, and will always be the same. There. And watch the game. Watch the play. Even while performing as an actor in a role within this grand play, it's an improv, the whole thing. There's not a script. There's some frameworks we must operate within. but we have freedom. So utilize it in order to be free. Let us press on. Verse 117. In the beginning, Nityananda says, in the beginning, there was only one religion propagated by Shiva. In the beginning, there was no difference like man and woman among human beings. This distinction was only in the gross nature. In the subtle nature, all was one. The subtle has no qualities. The subtle receives only the eternal ananda, or bliss, everywhere. Having and seeing all mental delusion, the visible world is transient. Acharya Kedar's commentary. In Satya Yuga, the first age, there was only one religion on the planet taught by Shiva himself, who existed here in a physical form. In Satya Yuga, equality consciousness reigned supreme. People saw each other as absolutely equal in God, regardless of gender or ethnic background. This is why Satya Yuga is known as the Golden Age. In its highest form, divine consciousness, the supreme subject or supreme I consciousness, has no qualities and no divisions. It experiences its true nature as bliss everywhere. This world is an illusion because it and everything in it is transient. Only that one God is real. Excuse me, I had to stop the phone from ringing. So that's stepping away from the text here. Some, in certain Eastern traditions, refer to the condition of Maya, which in some ways can be translated as illusion. But in that definition of illusion, it's not talked about as not real or not existing. What that refers to is passing. It is transient. It is not permanent and cannot be permanent. It is Maya. It is illusory, but not myth. Not misunderstanding, not lie or untruth, just not correctly understood for what it is, and not correctly perceived for what it is and how it works. Pressing on. Verse 118. Nityananda said, Hari is no Lord. Shiva is the Lord. What is called Hari is delusion. We must not be fooled by the shadow or the reflection. What is called Maya is delusion. To distinguish between the subtle and the gross is delusion. The delusion is caused by the subtle, and the gross are the same. The delusion caused by the gross is multitudinous. Acharya Kedar's commentary. He who sustains the universe as we know it, he is called Hari. Now, this also is a name for Vishnu, the sustainer. In truth, Lord Hari is a manifestation of Shiva. Hari is Maya Shakti, the energy of the illusion of Shiva, which brings creation into being for Shiva's sport. Maya Shakti is concealment of Shiva. It is the illusion that there is a universe separate from him. The delusion that a universe actually exists in and of itself. The sustenance of this illusion is said to be Hari, also known as Vishnu. With the limitless understanding brought about through the complete realization of God, Hari is seen as a play, a creation of Shiva. To say that Shiva and this Maya are different, that they are separate, to view the cosmos in this way is itself delusion. The experience of objects, people, places, and things as separate and apart from Shiva is delusion. To say that God is separate from this world, having nothing to do with it, to worship God in this way is the same delusion experienced as if one believes God does not exist. Nothing that is not Shiva exists anywhere. To say there is anything other than Shiva is delusion. Verse 119. Nityananda said, realize yourself. When you see another and yourself as different, it is delusion. Identify yourself with another. Realize the secret which is in yourself. It is not enough if you talk of this identity, but you must according to it. What you see with the external eye is of no use. The feeling of distinction will be the cause of trouble at the time of death. Acharya Kedar's commentary. Realize God. Seeing differences and duality in this world is delusion. You are one with everything and everyone because all is God. Identify yourself as being the same as others in this way. Realize the secret of your own true nature. God dwells within you as you. Worship God by becoming God. It is not enough to have intellectual knowledge of the self. You must become that and act accordingly. Investing yourself in the objects of this world is of no use. Seeing duality and difference, making distinctions between objects, between yourself and others, is the cause of death that causes rebirth. We're fixing to go into probably the longest quote from Bhagwan Nityananda. Before we hit that, let us run the bottom of the hour break. We'll come right out of that and back into the text. Keep it right here on Meditation. Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri, verse 120. Nityananda said, same sightedness is the gasping upwards at the time of death. Same sightedness is the indivisible one. This is supreme bliss. This is the subtle. This is the eternal. In the upward breath, there is no cawing sound. O Shiva, by your grace, permit us to breathe in and breathe out harmoniously. One must meditate in the head. One must meditate upon the ocean of eternal bliss. Meditate in the Ida, in the Pingala, and in the Sushumna. Ananda Kundalini, rise! The match is in the matchbox. Light is in the match. Rub the match and kindle the fire. Agyani is darkness. Jnana is light. Kundalini is the eternal bliss. Yes, it is so. Eternal bliss is in the heart. Infinite light is Kundalini. Kundalini is the light of Brahma. The sun light is the subtle light. The solar nerve is the Sushumna. The lunar nerve is the Ida. And the stellar nerve is the Pingala. The nerve of the third eye is the seat of Jnana. In this nerve is Jnana. In this nerve is sleep, Sushupti. In sleep, there is no wakefulness. Enjoy this sleep, harmonizing both prana and apana. Enjoy the subtle sleep, harmonizing the prana and apana. Enjoy the eternal bliss. The seat of breath is the truth. It is the internal space, the Chittakasha. In the eternal space, tower of eternal bliss. This tower is the seat of eternal peace. In the unconscious sleep, enjoy the conscious sleep of bliss. This is not the sleep of beasts. Sleep, the sleep of man. Enjoy that sleep, which must be the aim and end of man. Sleep, the sleep of the spiritual eye. When talking, when sitting, without any desires, without any thoughts, this is the spiritual sleep. Fixing your attention on breath, sleep. Perform the natural japa of the inward and the outward breath. Have subtle bhakti. Yes, have it. Attain liberation from bondage. Have constant bhakti, never interrupted. Breathe up and down without any restraint. Drawing the breath upwards is puraka. Stopping the breath is kumbhaka. Kumbhaka is your real seat. Breathing out is richaka. While breathing in, it should be like drawing water from a well. Draw the breath up to the Brahmarandra in the brain. By such a breathing, kindle the fire of Jnana. Purify the nerves. Burn the three humors, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, in this fire. What is called discrimination is such a fire. It is the yoga fire. It is the food digesting fire in the stomach. This discrimination is the solar light. God pervades the universe in the form of subtle energy. Creation is caused by the doubts of the mind. Creation is purely a mental affection. When you have attained the same sightedness, there will be no creation. Acharya Kedar's commentary. That was a long one. For someone in Nityananda's company, just hearing those words come out of him was like us going to a weekend seminar. Okay. Let's dig into Acharya Kedar's commentary on same-sightedness is the state of Pranahamvimarsha. It is the exalted state of liberation, the state of a siddha, which means a perfected being, who sees God in everything and everyone everywhere. At the time of death, this same-sightedness is the Urdhva Kundalini that rises into the Sahasrara, the crown chakra, for the last time and remains there rather than leaving the body. This is called Mahasamadhi and is the final resting place of one who is God realized. Upon exhalation, the breath moves upward. When prana is centered in the sushumna, the sushumna is the subtle tube, if you will, that runs from the base of the spine up through the spinal cord and out the top of the head. When prana is centered in the sushumna, it is very subtle and powerful. It purifies everything, including all the chakras and the 72,000 nadis, or energy points. You can think of them like the nervous system. The nerves are nadis. Think of it in that way and you'll have it. The 72,000 nadis or energy points throughout the physical and subtle bodies. This is the state of eternal bliss that is our very nature. Oh, Shiva, permit us to breathe steadily in an unobstructed fashion, paying close attention to the space between the breaths. Inhale and exhale. Permit us to realize you in this way. A yogi's duty is to learn this secret from the master, to learn how to direct the prana in the three main channels, Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna, and ultimately to direct the prana solely in the Sushumna Nadi, causing it to rise into the head to remain there. By doing so, one comes to meditate on the ocean of eternal bliss that is Shiva. Rise, O Kundalini, awake! The match is in the box. The fire is in the match. By drawing the Guru's power to you through Shaktipat, awaken the dormant Kundalini and begin your journey back to God. The sleep of ignorance is darkness. Knowledge and experience of God within, or jnana, is light. The inner energy that is awakened through Shaktipat is known as Kundalini Shakti. This Kundalini is eternal bliss because when it merges with Shiva in the Sahasrara, it liberates the yogi from the bondage of ignorance. This eternal bliss is experienced in the heart of Shiva, that is in the head. When Kundalini is transformed back into its transcendental aspect, Chitti, it is experienced as the infinite light of God. It is the light of divine consciousness. This light is subtler than the light of the sun and much more powerful. It exists in the central channels, Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna. The third eye is called Ajna Chakra, or the sixth chakra. It is the subtle spiritual center in the middle of the forehead, just above the eyebrows. Stepping away from the text for a moment, in locating your Ajna Chakra, your third eye, it's not on your forehead. If you were to take your finger and poke it through your forehead to where your hand would stop it, it will come to rest in the middle of your brain where the pineal gland is located. That is the physical representation of what is referred to as the third eye. Okay? Not on your forehead, deep within there, like right above and forward of your ear. That is where the center is. This is the command center. Once Kundalini pierces this center completely, the yogi is set on his or her own path, and liberation is very near. It is from this chakra that Kundalini is dispatched into the Sahasrara, uniting with Shiva. That is why it is called the seat of wisdom, the seat of Jnana, which means knowledge. In this chakra is the sleep of eternal bliss. When prana and apana, exhalation and inhalation, are harmonized and centered in the Sushumna Nadi, you enjoy the subtle sleep of divine consciousness, which is eternal bliss, eternal happiness, eternal joy. The seat of the breath is Shiva. It is the seat of truth. It is the inner expanse of divine consciousness known as Chidakasha. This is the place of eternal peace. When you withdraw your entire consciousness to this place, you enjoy the conscious sleep of bliss. This is not deep sleep or the sleep of the unenlightened. This is not the physical sleep that everyone sleeps. This is the supreme awareness of Shiva Shakti. It is the Turyatita state of the perfected being. This state must be the aim of all people. When you attain the outlook of Shiva, you have the spiritual eye of knowledge. Remain absorbed in Shiva Shakti. Remain absorbed in God within, even while you are talking, sitting, and active. Remain in this thought-free state and sleep the spiritual sleep. Perform Ajapa Japa, the natural mantra repetition that happens on its own when you maintain the awareness of your breath and the space between the breaths. This is Hamsa. By Hamsa, have mental bhakti. Bhakti means devotion. Yes, praise God in this way by becoming one with God. Through this kind of steady devotion, attain liberation from the bondage of ignorance. Attain the uninterrupted state of pranaham vimarsha. Breathe up and down without any restraint and retain the breath in the central nerve, the sushumna. This is your real seat, your asana. Breathing out is rechaka or prana. Breathing in is puraka or apana. When you breathe in, it should be like drawing water up from a well. Draw the breath up into the heart space in the head. By centering the breath in the sushumna, as instructed by a siddha, kindle the fire of wisdom. Breathing in this way is a powerful technique that purifies all the nerves and functions of your body. This sushumna breathing is the inner yajna, the inner fire of yoga. It is the fire of discrimination. It digests your food and cleanses your being. God pervades the universe in the form of subtle energy called spanda or spanda shakti. The world that we have come to know is a gross manifestation of this subtle energy brought about by the fluctuations and doubts of the mind. Call this world is really a superimposition in Maya, created by our own mental representations. When you merge your individual identity into Shiva, this creation will disappear and God alone will remain. Now, stepping away from the text. This does not mean you will no longer see the world through the physical senses or interact with it or do things. No, no, no. You will become focused inward. You are also aware of that which is occurring outwardly, but you are no longer caught up in it. This is what Jesus meant by being in the world but not of it. Because when you make that dissolving of the individual into the eternal and infinite, by whatever name you like to call, then it is done. You have finished the journey. Until that, you've got work to do. Verse 121. Nityananda said, the subtle state is common to both mobile and immobile beings. The difference is in the casual, the prakriti. Difference is delusion. Difference is in the body. Bodies are transient. Prakriti is evanescent. When you realize the subtle in the gross, that state is called moksha. Mukti is the indivisible. Mukti is in the heart space. In the heart space is Shivalinga. It is self-existence. This is also called the Prince Prana. This is the upward breath. This is known in yoga as prana. Prana is the one. Prana is the one in all. prana is the existence. This is known only to those who have practiced yoga. Those who have not practiced are not aware of this fact, they being bound by desires. So, to cut asunder the bondage of desires and hence attain salvation, realize the one tattva, Paramatman. Realize him, internal I. He is a man who has realized God by the internal I. Such a man feels that the universe is in him and he is in the universe. Mind, engrossed in the world, is not steady. Shiva, who dwells in the heart space, is the one. Everlasting, Shiva is Omkar. Omkar is Pranava. When united with forms, it is pranava. Omkar is the unawareness of bodily existence. Acharya Kedar's commentary. God, Spanda Shakti, exists in all sentient and insentient beings. The difference between these two is in Prakriti. Prakriti is the city of eight, or Visesha Spandi. Prakriti is the contraction of Spanda that becomes the individual will, ego, mind, and the senses. In truth, is not a real difference, since Prakriti only enables a human being to engage in Shiva's Maya, which itself is illusion. Prakriti exists so that Shiva can take a physical body. This is the only difference between an individual and a rock. The physical body is transient, but the underlying principle of Prakriti, which is Spanda, or pulsation, is eternal. When you fully realize that the supreme subject exists in all objects of sense, your state is one of pure bliss and God realization. You become liberated, and this liberation is indivisible. It is the heart space where the Shiva Lingam, the symbol of the Absolute, resides. This state is called the Prince Prana because it is attained by the constant practice of directing prana into the Sushumna Nadi and retaining breath inside in this way. This type of exhalation is called prana. Prana is existence and non-existence. It is the abode of Shiva and can only be experienced by one who has practiced yoga under the guidance of a siddha. Is the only way to cut through the bondage of desire and craving for pleasure and pain. Realize the Shiva Shakti principle, the realm of Paramatman, by directing your attention inside. This is the internal eye of jnana, or knowledge. Regardless of physical gender, one is a man who has realized God by this internal eye. Such a person then feels that the universe is contained inside herself, and that she is contained in and one with the entire universe. If you allow your mind to be absorbed in the mundane world of objects, it will not become steady. The way to steady the mind permanently is to meditate with the conviction that you are God. Doing this over and over again brings liberation in time. Shiva is everlasting. Shiva is the pranava mantra, Om. Shiva is both the cause and the effect. He is the cause of everything created and uncreated in this universe and all others. When he takes all the forms of this world, he is pranava still. His nature is not altered in the least by the fact that he becomes bound by form. When properly practiced, Omkar is this realization. Sonic? Questions, comments, complaints, ideas?
Sorry, I've been busy doing some background stuff on
Oh, stop talking about it then.
Okay.
That would have been... no, Swami. We are wrapping it up. We will pick up again next week with verse 122. And this Swami can only hope that those listening will be actually paying attention. Namaste. Om Namo Narayana.